scripture says that God is great and greatly to be praised. If you have a praise in your heart on this Saturday morning, I just want you to know it's fine to express it. Despite the setting, God, I know that we agree, is great in times of abundance and blessing, but he's also great in times of loss and loneliness, and always worthy of praise. We're here in remembrance, and I would add in celebration, of the life of Joanna West. She was born in Milford, Iowa on August 31st, 1951, and passed from this life in St. Louis, Missouri on December 17th, 2018. She was the loving wife of Perry, or as we know him, Jim West Jr., loving mother of Lisa and Ernie Lease, and Andrew and Angela West, loving grandmother of Logan, Landon, Liam, and Ava. Loving step-grandmother of Catherine and Tyler. Dear daughter of the late Fred and Marie Hansey. Dear daughter-in-law of Eva Mae West. And the late Perry J. West, Sr. The dear sister of Norma and Ivor Reuter. Ramona and J.C. Panska. Martin and Christy Hansey. And the late Bonnie James. And certainly a beloved sister-in-law, aunt, cousin, and friend. Joanna, as we know, served the deaf community her entire life, and we're thankful to say was a long-term member of this congregation, the Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Anytime a loved one is lost, there obviously is a void that no one else can fill. That individual is irreplaceable. Maybe some of the responsibilities in life or duties might be picked up by others, but there's no one that's going to replace that individual. And in reflecting a little bit of Joanna's life, and I realize that it's probably something we don't do just in the course of everyday living, but at a time like this you do, and I personally was struck by the far reach of her influence and involvement with so many people and various people. And I listed some descriptions. Each of them, to my mind, is packed with meaning, and my allotted time doesn't allow to support this with details too much. But each one could have lots and lots of examples and details. But she was first and foremost a loving family member. And let that sink in. Jim, your wife, Lisa and Andrew, Mom, and however you were related to her, a loving family member. She was a good neighbor, and that's not just a little trite saying. I think sometimes we say that offhandedly, but she literally was a good neighbor where they lived for years, had tremendous relationships with their neighbors around them. She was a loyal friend. If she was your friend, you knew that, and I think the prime example is the Leffler family. Three generations, 50 years of friendship, a loyal friend. She was a leader and an advocate and an inspiration in the deaf community, personally, within her own family, and then professionally as well. And then she was also passionate about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. When she and Jim came back from Spain to the St. Louis area after his term in the Navy, they prayed that God would lead them to someone that they could share their faith with. And she started working at Stiefel Nicholas. And there was a lady who had been there since about 1964, this was the early 70s, and Joanna met Donna Schrader, who's here today, and in due course, Jim and Joanna taught them Bible studies, and they became a part of this congregation after their new birth experience, and Mary has gone home to be with the Lord, but Donna's here today as a result of Joanna's desire, passionate desire, to share her faith. So yes, the void is vast, and in the course of time, sharing stories and keeping traditions alive, looking at photos, all of those things will be helpful to us. But above all, as Paul wrote, the God of all comfort, the God of all comfort promises to be with you always, and his presence is going to sustain and strengthen you without question. And I believe this next song sums up what we all need and thankfully what we can all have in our lives.
If the ship of your life is tossing on the sea of strife, you need so all alone, and your house is not a home. You need someone. If it seems life isn't fair, and there's no one left to share all those lonely days and nights when things just don't turn out right, and you need someone to care and someone to just be there. You need someone.
My name is Craig, nephew of Joanna. I'd like to say I'm the favorite nephew, but AJ's here, so I can't. I'm honored to speak on behalf of the family today. There's a whole lot more than what can be said in the next few minutes, but I'm going to share a few. Joanna was a very loving person, and she married a very loving man. And together they established a very sweet and loving family with Lisa and Andrew and the kids. Joanna moved from Iowa to St. Louis right out of high school, and it wasn't long before news came back that she was engaged to a guy. And there was a lot of concern among the family back home in Iowa that she didn't know him well enough, it was too soon, it might not work out. You can imagine. And Ramona, who was the first sibling to move to St. Louis, assured the family back home in Iowa that they would change their minds once they met Jim. The 27th would be their 48th anniversary. So I think it worked out. Jim brought his own great personality and humor to the family, and I thanked him just this morning for being just weaving right in. His easy smile earned him the sign of a J at the corner of his mouth for a smile. And I still sing his silly gopher guts song. I remember going over to his parents' place one time, and his dad offered us all the potatoes we could harvest, but it was a little late in the season. Take a pitchfork and turn a bunch of them out, and they look perfect, and you reach for them, they'd practically explode in your hands. We had a pretty good fun time with that. His mom doesn't remember, but she made us some nice lemonade out of some pulp that she had mixed up and put into ice cubes, and then she knew just how many ice cubes put in a glass of water for a perfect glass of lemonade. Cousin AJ recalls that the Iowa and Missouri families got together with great regularity over the years, and had a lot of fun visiting Lake Okoboji up in Iowa, the Ozarks down here, and other places where we all just had a load of fun. He and Andrew formed a very close bond despite the many miles that separated them. And my brother, who isn't here with us today, unfortunately spent several summers with Joe and Jim. They were, Mom and Dad were trying to get him away from certain friends up in Iowa, and there was an especially close bond between Van and Joe, partly because he was the oldest of the nephews and grandkids, and Joe sat for him while she was still home. Had Van not passed last year, he would have absolutely been devastated by Joe's passing. Joanna is remembered for her loving attitude, and I have a lasting spiritual gift that Joanna helped me receive. We were visiting from Iowa for Easter 1975. I was 10 years old. The Easter service at the 13th and Gravois location started out with a real bang, and Pastor Black just let it go. There was a lot of good worship and praise. And while all this praying was going on, Joanna turned around to me and looked at me and said, "You want to go up to the altar and pray for the Holy Ghost?" And I'm 10 years old, and I shrugged. And she furrowed her brow at me. She said, "Don't you want to go to heaven?" So I shrugged again and went up to the altar. And I don't know how much time passed, but later I stood up full of the Holy Ghost and feel like I was walking 6 inches off the floor. Cousin Gladys, an angel, used words like sweet and loving to describe Joe. I think you'll see a pattern here. Joanna's Christmas card to Angel this year said, "I'm thankful for our family, and even though we don't get to see each other much, you're always in our heart." Angel's Facebook post that she put out upon hearing about Joanna's passing: "My Aunt Joanna will always hold a special place in my heart. She learned sign language to not only communicate with her brother, my dad Martin, and her sister Bonnie, but so that she could help others communicate with them. She even made sign language interpretation her profession. I always admired, respected, and loved her so much for her dedication to her siblings and the deaf ministry." Nicole, who is AJ's wife, shares this: "What I remember most about Aunt Jo is her kindness, unselfishness, and love. Even though I was Aunt Jo's niece-in-law, she never treated me that way. She welcomed me into the family with open arms. She always opened up her house to us, and we always ended the night with great talks about family." Finally, I want to acknowledge what the love of God can do in our lives. Jo and her siblings did not have the easiest time in their early lives. Their father died young, 54, when Jo was just a teenager, and their mother struggled greatly with his death for many years. Money was always tight. There was a lot of opportunity for anger and bitterness to become a part of their lives. These siblings chose forgiveness, honor, and love. I find their behavior to show the love of God in the world to be the truest reflection of what it is to be like Jesus. There's so many memories of family and fun, family sorrows, family joys and triumphs. And today we're very sad and hurting. And although Jo wasn't rich enough or famous enough to have a street or a building or a national park named after her, she lives in our hearts and memories more famously. Joanna played saxophone in high school. When I was 10, I got her saxophone. I bought my own in high school. But I learned on hers for many years. I'm honored to be asked to play. We're going to play a song, "My Tribute," or "To God Be the Glory." The only part that I still have that is from Joanna's original saxophone is this piece that covers the microphone. So I've had that for 40 years, 43 years, and who knows how long she had it, so it's an antique.
before we sing it again, Lisa and Andrew told me the other day at the hospital that in recent days, Jim recovering from surgery and various other life issues that happen, they would launch into this song led by Joanna. Peace, peace. And that peace is here today. The Prince of that peace is here. And last Sunday afternoon, a little more than 24 hours before she would pass, that afternoon, they joined together and sung this song because they sensed the need for the Prince and his peace. And that special Prince and that special peace is here today. And she would want it no different. And she would believe it as strong as any of us do, if not stronger. Would you mind just joining together with your lifting your voice and stand together? Let's stand in honor of the Prince that we're singing it. There's a peace. It's a wonderful peace. Yes, yes, but it's coming down from the Father. At the close of a service, but his Spirit is here right now to accomplish what we're going to pray. Would you just stretch a hand toward this family, and would you pray the peace of God over them and in them and upon them? Just give God thanks for his presence. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this service. I thank you that same presence certainly in her life. Thank you for what we're sensing and what we're feeling today. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. Someone said that peace is not the absence of sorrow, but it is the presence of God. We have both today. As the gospel writer Luke documented the ministry events of Jesus, he listed various people active in the Lord's ministry. And so, in the 8th chapter of the book that bears his name, he wrote, "And Joanna ministered," and our common word would be, "served him."
so it could read, "And Joanna served him." And so she is her own text and title today. Her name means the Lord has been gracious and has shown favor. And one of the ways that Joanna thanked him for that is serving him. She lived out a thanks for her name. That Joanna of Luke chapter 8 and this Joanna certainly had that service dynamic in common. And so it was written of that New Testament Joanna, she served him. And it can be written and said of this New Testament Joanna, she served him. Since she was a young girl living in a God-fearing atmosphere, Joanna has served the Lord. A month before she turned 9 years old at Camp Galilee in Minnesota, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Thursday, July 28, 1960, and was baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus a few days later on Sunday, July 31st. 58 years of serving him, a life built upon him and his word. Just this morning, Lisa handed to me some scriptures that she found there that Joanna had written. It's almost as if she had written them for this day, but what we know is they fit any day. But for I know the plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And there are several others listed. And they told me then that all throughout their years at home, throughout the rooms and the house, there would be scriptures posted or written down or listed. And her life lived out that word that she read and that she wrote. And then their children also reflect that. Andrew, Lisa, and your families reflect that wonderful influence of the word of the Lord. And speaking of family, she did serve her family. Her husband, Jim, as was mentioned, 47 years and would have been 48 next Thursday. She loved him and he loved her. And there was not a doubt about any of that. And then her children, Lisa and Andrew. When we see you, we will sense and see your mom, because she left an imprint upon your lives and passed on to you that service instinct and characteristic. And of course, grandchildren, Logan and Landon, Liam and Ava Kate, and step-grandmother DeCatherine and Tyler. One of the scriptures that she had written down, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, and out beside it, she had written the words, grandkids. And she saw something that I just never noticed before in there. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power and work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And she has the word generations underlined. And out to the side, grandkids. So grandchildren, Grandma Jo prayed for you, thought about you, covered you, And you've already had some blessings as a result of her prayers. But I would say to you today, there's more in store because of not just Grandma Jo, but Jim, your parents, and the family. What a treasure and what a blessing. And it was always a special treat here at APC when Narma, Sister Ramona, would come back home, Martin, and of course, the blessing of the late Sister Bonnie. Memories and remembrances are just flooding today of Death Ministry in the 70s as it launched itself into the United Pentecostal Church. A lot of it due to the burden of Sister Joanna, Sister Bonnie, others, and of course the Bradshaws, and then Pastor Winfred Black, who had a vision for this to be able to minister to so many people the Word of God and the Gospel. And I know she loved her siblings, and she let us all know that. Of course, aunt, cousin, and friend, and then just a very special part of our APC church family. And there will be a void, and we will miss her, but thank God for the hope that we have. And thank you, Jim, for your service and allowing your wife to serve as she has the kingdom of God, and APC in particular. Various kingdom ministries could be mentioned when you talk about Joanna West. But discipleship was certainly one of them. She and Jim served and loved and won and discipled various people. All of them may not have come, at least as yet, to a fullness of what God wants to do in their life. But she loved teachers and students, and parents of students came by here last night saying what a blessing that Joanna was, not only inside the church house, but in the environments of our world where her love for the Lord and her love for people and her service was not stopped. And Brother Reaver mentioned one of those, or two of those discipled persons, in the persons of Donna and Mary Schrader. She served them and many others with attention, love, Bible studies, and whatever it took to show and demonstrate love. Thank you, New Testament Joanna, for being a New Testament disciple maker. And of course, the ministry to which we all know that she was definitely called of the Lord, the ministry to the deaf. One of our identity points in our culture today is your email address. Here's Joanna's. I am an interp. That's what she wanted to be known by. It wasn't just her digital home address where her correspondence was housed and lived. It was how she lived. And it was one of the things that she lived for, serving and interpreting for the deaf. There are many highlights of that ministry area and her gifting. There are many that could be recalled. Time doesn't allow, and all of us probably don't even know all of the event highlights that allowed her to bless this ministry. But an observation worth noting is that giving herself to this ministry through the years, she continued to develop and sharpen her interpreting skills. It placed her in some very unique and beyond the church wall situation where her skills were needed for practical assistance, but those became opportunities and venues for a spiritual witness. And she didn't overuse that or abuse that. But she certainly let her light shine and let the gospel message be seen and read, if not from a Bible, from her life and from her spirit. Another more recent highlight that has stood out to me personally, and it personally impressed and impacted me, was her burden and vision and faith to restore an active deaf ministry here at APC. At that point, there were no deaf persons consistently attending APC. There were some interpreters, and there were some who were interested in interpreting. Sister Joanna and Sister Caressa came asking what should be their approach with what they were sensing and feeling. Should they prepare for new deaf members? Should they train those interested in interpreting? Would that look silly to sit up here in a chair and not have anybody really that needed interpretation? We decided train as if there's a shortage of interpreters. Interpret services with or without deaf members, with the purpose of training and preparing workers for a coming harvest. And a harvest has come, and more is coming. As we were talking about that, neither Caressa nor Sister Joanna appeared hesitant to that idea at all. In fact, it felt to me like they had already considered that very option and were already settled on that. They just needed another word on it. She had a burden, and a burden has vision, and a vision and hard work will accomplish the fulfillment. And it did, and they did, and she did. There is just no telling the far-reaching impact. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them." I know what I'm doing with the text right now. But her signs, the signs of Jesus and Jesus loves you, and the cross and the gospel, they followed her and are going to follow her. And some of these folks seated over here today received a word of encouragement. I know the preacher was the one preaching, but she was the one that interpreted it so that you could hear it and you could understand it. Those signs will follow you all the days of your life. The blessings, the favor of God, the strength of God, the message of God that she interpreted into your life. And I just want to encourage you, live it out. Live for God. Serve Him like this lady that we are commemorating today served the Lord. This Joanna, like the other one, believed totally in God, even to the point, in fact, the second time that Joanna is mentioned in the book of Luke is at the resurrection. Joanna was one of the first who went to the empty tomb of Jesus. She witnessed for herself the resurrection power of the Lord. And then she went back to others claiming and proclaiming a resurrection. The Luke 8 Joanna did that. And this Joanna did that. She experienced way back at Camp Galilee the resurrecting power of the Lord. She told others about that power. But that's not the only resurrection she believed in and looked forward to. She believed in this resurrection. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe," and she did believe, "that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ." Joanna and others are going first. "And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then Paul closes that text by saying something that is certainly true. It would never be in there if it wasn't. "You can comfort one another with these words." there's a hope. She believed in that resurrection. There's no telling how many times she sang and led the familiar resurrection rapture themed song, Goodbye World, Goodbye. A song that became the favorite of the APC and ultimately the UPCI deaf ministry. And not only the deaf, but the hearing alike. So to honor her, her faith in him and his coming, and in honor of the people that she served and loved, the deaf are going to sign that song of faith and hope. Goodbye, world, goodbye.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you that that is more than just a wonderful song. But it's the hope that she lived and then passed with. And now I thank you that it's the hope that we have. We give you thanks for this wonderful life, that it's an honor to celebrate today. Thank you for giving her life and then giving her new life. And then there is eternal life. We thank you for that, Lord. We do ask your strength and your blessing to this family, this day, the days close ahead, and then the days on out into the future. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We ask for the continuance of your goodness and mercy and peace. And underneath the sorrow and underneath any struggle, we feel a solid bedrock of hope and trust, knowing that she made her calling and election sure. Thank you for this life that impacted our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. In just a moment, the directors and ushers will be directing you for the final review. Thank you for coming today. I know there's a great thanks and appreciation from this family. Also, give honor to Pastor Jaco, Sister Jaco, who are here, Lisa and Ernie's pastor. Thank you, Brother Jaco, for being here today. And every family member and friend, thank you for coming today. You may be seated. And due to some time constraints and making an effort to arrive at the cemetery in Barnhart, as you pass by to pay your final respects, we would ask that you would not pause at that time to greet the family. Perhaps there can be a time later when you will be able to do that. And after you have viewed, please move immediately from the sanctuary into your vehicles. We want to allow some time for the family to have some private time here at the close. Thank you to Kudus Funeral Home, Tracy. Thank you for your assistance and help. And they do ask that if you are going to this cemetery, if you will receive a sticker from them to place on the windshield of your car and also to place your flashers on for safety. Thank you once again for attending this wonderful tribute and celebration to a wonderful life.
Jesus, I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Then he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land.
Yes. sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. The one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
from the Father.